Welcome, welcome, welcome to Pop Off on none other than the fastest growing, the most extraordinary network called BBS Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us on Pop Off today. Have we got a show for you? The one and only, the way I call him is the guru of vitamins and supplements of the century. Dr. Earl Mandel is going to be joining us. We've got Bill Gardner. This man was an agent in Hollywood for like the likes of Mickey Rooney. And he goes back to Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin. And a lot of stories that are just absolutely incredible. And he's got them in his book called Confessions of a Hollywood Agent. But as always, we want to make sure we're going to have a lot of fun on Pop Off. It's fun, but it's also informational, and it's for your life. We want your life to be better, live longer, live happier, live healthier. That's a main goal for us. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you something. This was absolutely phenomenal. As a result of being on our show, the Mitchell Finck, if you remember Day Before Yesterday, he wrote the book, The Dead Celebrities, The Last Days of Dead Celebrities. Great stuff. He talked about John Belushi and John Lennon. A lot of people that he followed the last, not only days, but weeks and months of their life. He was on The View yesterday with the ladies and did a phenomenal job. But he really was provocative. He's going to be coming back and visiting with us. Also, I'd love to hear from you. If you have some ideas for the show, if you have comments about the show, we would like to hear from you. All you have to do is email me, maryjane@popoff.com, which is the name of the show. And that's P-O-P-P-O-F-F. Two P's, two F's. Mary Jane Pop is my name, and Pop Off is what we do. So maryjane@popoff.com. And please, please, I've gotten emails. I love it. It's fantastic. But please tell us where you're emailing us from. The reason is because very shortly, in the next couple of months now, we're going to be on a book tour. And I say we, June DiMaggio, who's the niece of Joe DiMaggio, and I put our heads together over the last 7 years and came up with a book called Marilyn, Joe, and Me. This is about Marilyn Monroe, Joe DiMaggio, also some other stars that she knew in Hollywood, like Barbara Stanwyck and Carol Channing and Ida Lupino and Jeanette MacDonald, but mainly about Marilyn and Joe. And believe me, do we have some startling information, but also some very sweet, wonderful stories about these two people, the behind-the-scenes stuff, not the studio stuff that everybody else has heard. And something like 70 photos are going to be in the book, 70-plus photos are in the book. And these are never-before-seen or never-before-published photos. And we're going to be doing a book tour. And I would love to know where you're emailing us from, because who knows? We may be coming to your town to do that book tour. Maybe we can do an event there, a book signing or whatever. And if I know where you're emailing me from, I can get that information back to you. It's just that simple. I want to build a community on Pop Off, a community of wonderful people, all of us joining together to be better on BBS Radio. And this is a wonderful network. I'm telling you, Doug and Don have done a phenomenal job here. And what they're trying to get is a message to all of us to be a community by sharing with each other the information that we all have, because everybody has good information. Put that all together, you got a pool that just will not quit, literally. Talking about never quitting, have we got a gal for you if you're planning to do some movie watching this weekend.
Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show.
Yeah, but before you take her to the picture show, gonna spend a few bucks on movies for these days, I'll tell you. Cost a few with a ticket and the popcorn and the milk duds. It all adds up. We want it to be a good investment. So, of course, we check out the list with our Hollywood, as always, movie maven. This is Deborah Hill, who reviews them all just for the hill of it. And sometimes, Deborah, I don't know how you go see some of the crap, you know?
Sometimes I get cross-eyed.
Well, you've actually walked out on some, I know.
Oh, yeah. It's so far down at the bottom of the hill, it's in the pits. So, therefore, I say, no, I'm not going to. I'm
half-hatted. You wonder how we spend money on those kinds of movies, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's, I don't know.
You saw one this week. Now, this one's got me baffled. It's called Click?
Click, yeah. This is with Adam Sandler, Kate Beckinsale, and Henry Winkler.
Uh-huh.
Remember Happy Days, Henry?
You bet.
Well, it's about today, and the inevitable has happened. A new computer-operated gadget has been invented with magical powers.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, it's a universal remote that is so technologically sophisticated it can control your universe.
Uh-oh.
And you can rewind or fast-forward your life with a click.
Yes.
How'd you like to rewind your life? I don't think so.
It would be kind of fun, though, to be able to go back and check something out. Although, would you ever want to go back when you were 20? I wouldn't.
No, I'm really happy with today, right now, where I am, because I think I can handle life a lot better.
Yeah,
I think you learn so much, you know, as you go live life that you are about ready. The school of hard knocks, they call it.
Yep, been there, done that, don't want to do it again.
Yeah, right. And Adam Sandler is a hard-working husband and father who hopes his career choice, architect, will fast-forward him to a promotion in his architectural firm.
Uh-huh.
But working day and night leaves him very little time for his wife, Kate Beckinsale, and his little son and daughter. And he also has so many remote control gadgets, he never seems to know which one turns on the TV or opens the garage door.
I got a newsflash for you. That's not stretching the facts.
Yeah, right. So one day he goes looking for the perfect device to operate all his electronic equipment and winds up at Bed Bath and Beyond. It's the Beyond part that changes his life, so much so that he doesn't know whether he's coming or going.
It's funny because I was just over at the Bed Bath and Beyond yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because somebody's getting married and they're registered there. You know how that is? They register and you got to go pick something out and you go, I don't want to buy that kind of stuff. I want to give something unique, but that's okay. Anyway, so he goes to the Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah, in the end, he finally realizes he's going so fast, he's missing the most important part of his life, and that's his family. So Click is a half-funny, half-tragic look at modern life, but it has, you know, it's rated PG-13, and it has crude sex-related humor that I didn't think was necessary for this film.
That potty mouth humor again.
Yeah, the toilet humor I don't like, and it had drug references that I didn't really think were that necessary, but I think it clicks only halfway up the hill.
That's not bad. Who actually did it?
Columbia Pictures.
Really?
Columbia.
I'm surprised it was a Columbia.
Yeah.
And is it, like, rated PG something or other?
PG-13.
Okay. So
PG-13 is stretching it a little these days. You know, you'd think if it's PG-13, it would be a little cleaner and a little less crude humor and a little less toilet humor.
Well, tell me, Deborah, I just don't understand. Why do they feel that they always have to have some kind of, like you said, toilet humor or potty mouth humor all the time? It takes a lot more, and I've heard this from top-notch comedians who are on the stage every night. It is much more difficult to tell a joke that doesn't have the swear, you know, the four-letter word and the potty mouth.
Right, and I look at who the writers are on these films, and a lot of the toilet humor is men. Only men are writing the film, or in this case, a couple of young men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of them probably as closer to college students than adults. And they seem to think that type of humor is funny.
Yeah, not only that, but does anything have a real storyline anymore? It's like goes from potty humor to this kind of slapstick to this kind of, and jumps all over the place, and you go, wait a minute, what is this movie about?
Yeah, I found myself getting a little cross-eyed in this movie as we went fast-forward and rewind.
By the way, did you see the AFI award last night with Sean Connery?
No, I was busy seeing a movie called The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, my God. Let's talk about that first.
Devil Wears Prada.
You got a stylish devil with horns and red cape, so why not the Prada Is it boots or shoes?
Shoes, stiletto-type high-heel shoes.
Red, I betcha.
Yeah, that's right. It's Meryl Streep is the star with Anne Hathaway.
She's a devil?
And well, she's a devil in the office. She's very difficult to work with.
Uh-huh.
And Stanley Tucci is in this. And Meryl plays the editor-in-chief of a magazine called Runway. And she dictates to the world what the latest fashions should be and are. And Anne Hathaway gets the job of being her assistant, who thinks it's a dream job, and then it turns out to be a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
But most women do love fashion shows and magazines that show what the latest clothes, shoes, and accessories are touted to buy and wear. I like to see them, too, but quite often, in my case anyway, I just laugh at things that I would never wear or buy.
I've seen, they've got that one show on cable, I think it's called Runway, isn't it? Where they actually have the models from the different designers. And it's like they've got these things that are like wired hoops with like little gauze on it, and they're walking up and down the runway, and I'm going, yeah, right, I can really wear that down to Albertsons.
Right, stiletto high-heeled shoes that are not only uncomfortable, but they're often dangerous to stability and your health. But however, a lot of women take the risk to be in the latest style.
Now, I've got to tell you something, Deborah. When I was growing up in South Chicago, those were called weapons.
Weapons, yeah. Would you have to take them off to make
them? No. Seriously.
Or you kick somebody, I guess.
Kick,
yeah.
Or if they come behind you and grab you from the back, you give it to them right on the instep.
Yeah, and in that case, it'd be very good.
Yep.
Yeah. I never bought those type of shoes. And when they had pointed toe shoes, I never bought those type of shoes. And one time I went to a foot doctor, and he said, "My God, you've got the most perfect feet I've ever seen." And I said, "That's because I don't wear pointed toe stiletto type shoes."
Oh, boy, you don't want to see mine, because I used to wear those.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I still have a few pairs that I wear for, like, special occasions. But you're right. I mean, your foot kind of grows into one big toe.
Yeah.
Because it's so pointy.
And you wind up at the foot doctor a lot.
Yeah. Actually, I do.
But Anne Hathaway takes the risk to keep her job, even though she's a size 6 dress, and the size 6 in the industry is considered large.
Yeah.
Size 0 is the new size 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the fashion world is really a stressful, demanding business that often pushes the personal life right out of the picture.
Uh-huh.
So the question is, how much would you sacrifice to keep your job? And I thought this was an interesting look at, how much would you put yourself through? How much stress? How much pressure to keep your job? And I think The Devil Wears Prada gives a good inside look at the fashion world, and it walks up the runway to the top of the hill.
And I think it might even teach a lesson on others, because we look at a job and say, no matter what, I got to keep this job because I can move up in the world. I can buy the bigger car, have the bigger house, put on the fancy clothes. Instead of, is this really what I want out of life? And it only goes, 70, 80 years, 90 if you're lucky. And then what? You're going to take it with you?
Right. And this is rated PG-13, and I think that's the correct rating for this, because I didn't find anything really offensive in this. It's just the characters of the people, a lot of them are kind of demanding and stressful. But this is a 20th Century Fox film.
Oh, okay.
And it's a kind of an interesting film. I found it kind of funny for me, because I never let anybody dictate to me what I should wear.
Yeah, but you're an exception to what normally happens, because everybody, look at the magazines, they fly off the racks, every kind of style magazine, even the Enquirers and the Globes of the world, everybody's looking at what they wore at something or other.
Right. It's absolutely true, and everybody follows like sheep, and goes along with whatever's the latest style.
I mean, let's face it, I've got European hips. I got a small waist, but I got European hips.
Yeah.
And I'd have to shave off the hips, the bone, to be able to wear some of the stuff they wear today. Because if I put those skirts around my, below my waist by my belly button, my pants will fall off.
Yeah, well, in this film, Anne Hathaway looks very slim and has the perfect figure, and they tell her she's too fat. I mean, no wonder kids go into bulimia and anorexia.
That's right.
It's really dictation from fashions and stuff, but they shouldn't listen to that. I always say, listen to yourself, think for yourself, and don't be dictated to, although, there are so many things in life today that we're being dictated to. Next month, we got to talk about a new movie I was just looking at. They sent me a copy called America from Freedom to Fascism.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy, this is one we're really going to look into in depth.
Well,
and then there's a website now called freedomtofascism.com.
Really?
Yeah, you might want to tap into it and take a look. Did you know that there is not a law that says the average hardworking person like you and I have to pay taxes?
Well, you know, I had a guy on, for years and years and years. I'm not sure if he's still in jail now or out. Erwin Schiff, you know him.
Oh, sure, I know Erwin, yeah.
And
I interviewed him, too.
He said, do not pay taxes, do not pay taxes. But he's been in and out of jail.
Well, the problem is that, see, he's a minority. There's not enough people. I mean, if every American citizen who works, not in government, but just in an ordinary job, stood up and marched in the streets and said, we're not paying taxes, or we're not going to, which another thing they talk about is these identity chips that they want to put in people's bodies.
Yeah, right.
And identity cards that track your every move and how much, what you buy and what you do.
Yeah,
I mean, this is more than Big Brother is watching. This is a total dictatorship.
People don't realize when you go into a grocery store, you're already tagged.
Yeah, and do you realize that the Federal Reserve is not federal at all? It's just the banking corporations in America and around the world.
Don't you remember when they actually had gold at Fort Knox?
Oh, yes.
Now it's just cobwebs.
I know. It's pretty scary what's happening in this world. And unless the public stands up and said no, you know, I think a lot of people may do that after they see this film. It's coming out July 28th.
Now, when are you going to see it?
I'm looking at it now. They sent me a private copy. Thank you very much. And I really have to rewind it and look at it again and say, did they say that?
Well,
you know, it's a film that you actually, that it's like going to school and studying it, because it opened my eyes to a lot of things that I did not realize. Like, for instance, we do not want electronic voting machines.
Oh, you know what? I have ragged on that on the air over and over again. I will not vote on an electronic voting machine. What I do is absentee, so I've got a paper trail. Even if I did that this year. I took it into my voting place, but I had a piece of paper in my hand. There's got to be a paper trail.
That's right. Or otherwise, voting is just a fraud.
Now, who knows? It can be tampered with. They've already said that, you know, we've had
it
the problems with people, the dipole, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's scary, man. I mean, the world is turning topsy-turvy. Now, I'm hoping that we're going to see some of that in the movies, but you begin to wonder, you know?
Well, I'm sure the forefathers that started this country did not want this to happen to it. The greed and the selfishness of individuals who are in corporations and banking and government has taken our freedoms away.
Mm-hmm. But how do we fight back?
We have to fight back, and I'm going to stand and fight, too, because I've joined. And I remember when I marched in the 60s for women's rights, for equal rights, and I thought, well, good, that's done. But we really never got equal rights. We got better rights. I mean, women in this country are better off than, I guess, many of the countries around the world. It's certainly better off than the Middle East.
Right.
But still, equal rights.
Do you get the feeling that sometimes we're slipping back?
That's yes.
You're slipping back?
Yes. I've seen this administration and the people, not just president, but the people in it, who are trying to take women's rights to choose away. And I think that's a very individual right. It's like your personal health.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not think, if you don't think it's right to have an abortion, don't have one.
Yeah.
But don't dictate to me. If God thinks it's punishable, let God punish me. But you, as an individual, do not have the right to punish me.
Yeah,
if I make a choice.
Do you see more of these kinds of movies that are addressing the situation that we're in our country and what we're facing and what the ordinary person has?
Well, I'm seeing more and more documentaries, like the one we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Who Killed the Electric Car?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was an important one, and that, you know, is coming out on June the 28th.
Okay.
And I think when the people see that, they're going to understand that the greed and corruption in America is taking away this beautiful country that we so love, and I always was proud to be an American. But now I'm wondering.
Well, I still am, but I'm not too proud of the people who are running it, because they're giving us some major problems. They're not thinking about the people anymore. They're thinking about the next election. And that's why I'm glad we're seeing some of these kinds of movies that are at least open to the eyes, because we get very, very complacent sometimes.
Right. And how much is enough? I mean, I ask myself, you know, I have enough. I'm not greedy and selfish. I'm not trying to rip people off or get more than I really need. But apparently these people are obsessed with getting more and more and more.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Well, But that seems that that's what we promote. Maybe if we had more people who would do some independent films that say, wait a minute, this is not what our values are all about. This is not what the country is. Yes, you do the best you possibly can. You get ahead as far as you can because if you work hard.
Yeah.
But it's not that anymore. It doesn't even seem to be a situation where if you work hard, you get ahead. It's just you get ahead any way you can.
Yeah. Stabbing people in the back or ripping them off and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what happened to ethics and morals and the rules of good and evil. It's just kind of sad. There are some people around like you and I who still have that kind of character. I say in my book, The Best of Your Life for the Rest of Your Life, I grew up when cars had character and so did people. And we wouldn't think of stealing from each other or ripping somebody off just to get ahead or stabbing somebody in the back. I mean, it just wasn't the life that was considered the good life. And now the older citizens, people over 50, they have to be very aware of what's happening in this world because they will be taken advantage of.
You betcha. And, you know, we're not passing on any decent values for the next generation. That's for darn sure.
Yeah. Well, I know that I did with my children, and I know that my children did with their children. So my grandchildren are really exceptionally good people.
You bet.
But you insisted
on it, you know?
Yeah, I know that a lot of the problems today is that the family breakdown. They don't have the mother and father really to teach them the right way to go.
You got it.
And the support system that they need when they're children.
Well, keep up the value that you have as a movie reviewer, too, because you tell it like it is.
I call it like it is.
Well, like you said, you are who you are, and that's what we do on the air. You know, we're honest, we're straightforward. What you hear is what you really get on air, off air. Doesn't make any difference.
Right. If you want to see more, you can go to my website.
Thank you. Tell them where.
DevraZHill.com. That's D-E-V as in vitamins, R-A, and then the letter Z as in zoom zoom, and Hill, H-I-L-L, DevraZHill.com, and they'll see all kinds of things, books I've written and movie stars I've interviewed and lots of movie reviews and all kinds of stuff.
Well, you have a wonderful weekend, and just remember, if you're going to go to the movie instead of sitting at home, popcorn's on me.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Thank
have
you.
An entertaining week.
Talk to you next week.
Right.
It's always entertaining. I'm Bob Off. Speaking about Hollywood. Now, you know, we hear so many stories coming out of Hollywood these days, but I'll tell you, the real history is what Hollywood is all about. And this man managed the careers of the likes of Mickey Rooney, Jonathan Winter, and he spent time on the set of the old Colgate Hour with the likes of Martin and Lewis, Jimmy Durante, Danny Thomas, Lucille Ball, Red Skelton, and the list just goes on and on and on. Add to the mix, novelist and screenwriter, and now you have William Lewis Gardner and Confessions of a Hollywood Agent. Bill, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Thank you, Mary Jane. It's great to be with you.
You know, I just love the idea of talking about old Hollywood because, boy, oh boy, old Hollywood ain't what it is today, huh?
It's frankly unrecognizable. It's so different. The days that stars are different, the times are different, how you put a movie together is different. It's all just like brand new to me.
Well, they've done away with the star system and, you know, the studio's kind of taken over Hollywood lives. And I think that's what kind of protected a lot of those stars back there, because they say, oh, wait, look at the scandals we hear today. Well, there were scandals then, too, but the studios were able to cover them up.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we had all that protection back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there wasn't any of this that's going on in the paparazzi. That was just heard about in Italy.
Really?
In the 50s and 60s, and I never thought it'd ever get over here. But it's all over the place, and you see what they're getting for photos. You hear those million-dollar prices. It's shocking.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I don't think anyone is worth, you know, $50 million to do one movie any more than I think any athlete is worth.
Well, I don't think I've heard it getting up there, but, you know, in time, a few years from now, I imagine it will be.
But it's expensive.
If you're on the picture like Tom Cruise, you can make that kind of money.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of them. In fact, I just heard he's buying a house for $40 million somewhere that I know. And, you know, who can afford playing $40 million? Can you imagine the taxes?
You know, it boggles the mind when a scientist gets $50,000 a year and an actor gets, you know, $20 million for a movie. Which one can help society more?
It's just what they bring in. It all comes down to money, Mary Jo. You know that.
Yeah, you bet. Now, you know, talking about some of the old stars, you actually had contact with Marion Davies, and for those who are not familiar.
Oh, yes. I was a secretary for her when I was 20 years old. Would you believe it?
Now, tell them who Marion Davies is.
And I was down here in the desert, which I'm back at again. That was 1952.
Now, that's telling who Marion Davies is.
I was around a couple of years before she died.
You got to tell them who she is.
Well, Marion Davies was a major movie star in the 20s and 30s. She was the mistress of William Randolph Hearst, and she had palaces and was absolutely the queen, uncrowned queen of actually America at the time, because people were coming to see her like George Bernard Shaw, Winston Churchill. I mean, because her husband, or her lover of 35 years, was the head of all the newspapers in America.
Yep,
in fact,
and the newspapers at that time.
The Spanish-American War.
And also the newspapers, hey, Bill, the newspapers at that time pretty much controlled what was being said about Hollywood, didn't they?
Well, yes, Hedda Hopper, Luella Parsons, they were the word on making and creating a career or ruining a career. They were good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was all around them all the time, giving them gifts and such, so they'd get a good word in.
Basically, they were kissing up to them.
And they were interesting women, let me put it that way.
I bet. Did you know both of them?
Knew both of them. There was a feud between the two of them because Luella was with the Examiner, and she, of course, supposedly witnessed something on Mr. Cruz, the yacht that supposedly was one. See, he was very jealous of Marion, and he got rid of people over Marion Davies.
That hurt.
He never could marry her, but he sure as heck was never left her side.
Mm.
I remember sometimes when at the house, he would sit out there in the corridor and just see how she came upstairs. But we all fooled him because we brought him up the back staircase, which is an outside, because if she was drinking, you could get fired. And you usually were the ones that gave her the booze, he thought. But there was liquor stuff behind books everywhere all over the place.
Wow, that was at the Hearst Castle. That was at the Hearst Castle?
That was in her house at 1011 North Beverly Drive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
where he died. And after that, of course, it was a major deal, and she went out and married a man that looked just like him, extra in the movies. Of course, he called himself a captain, but he was one for the books, let me tell you.
Now, who was your favorite personality?
My favorite? Oh, I loved Lucy when she was alive. I got along with her because I could kid with her, and she'd, you know, I'd hit her between the eyes sometimes with stuff, and she used to, you know, she used to damn you, you know, and all that. But she was a great, great performer and a great creator and a very tough, smart businesswoman, as everybody knows.
Are you familiar with Mitchell Finck? He wrote a book called The Last Days of Dead Celebrities. It just had him on TV.
I saw him on TV.
Yeah, well, he was
and
just
he
on
had
the
a story about Lucy, and I think he was right. I think that Lucy wasn't very happy in her later years. You know, things just change, and she was used to all that attention she got, but she was lonesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had her up visiting me to show her a house in Montecito. She came up twice to see it, and when she came out the last time, she said to me, "You know something, Bill, Greta Garbo should buy this house, but she's so damn cheap." And I said, "Lucy, that's the pot calling the kettle black."
I love it, because even Mitchell was saying that, especially in her later years after Desi died, that was still the true love of her life, even though she was married again.
Yeah, but he was pretty awful. I mean, gosh, Desi got to be a terrible drunk, and you couldn't have him around.
Really?
He was just terrible. I remember him coming over to Mickey Rooney's house one day, and he made a big pass at his wife, and it was a terrible scene. I couldn't get him out of there fast enough. But he, you know, and then he married somebody, and I guess she kept him down a little bit. But, you know, it just all got to him at the end.
How well did you know Frank Sinatra?
Well, I, you know, being with Mickey Rooney, you know everybody. And sooner or later, you know, they all call Frank because they need something done. And he was good about that. If he had his friends, he'd do anything. Of course, they both were married to the same woman, Ava Gardner. And, you know, Frank never got over it, but Mickey did right away. He found somebody new. In fact, Howard Hughes took Ava away from him. So, you know, it was all that stuff going on. It did it then, and it's always going to do it in Hollywood. That's the way it is.
Yeah. You know,
when you get on a set with a gorgeous man and a gorgeous woman, and they're kissing and hugging and carrying on, you know, this is pretty easy, what you call temptation.
Boy,
and it just happens from there.
You know, I got to tell you, I just recently talked to Mickey Rooney, maybe a couple months ago.
Oh,
and
did you?
He's still sharp.
He's over right now in Europe, just killing them. Killing him, and he comes back. He goes into a major movie with Robin Williams.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of movie?
And he's,
you know?
85, going to be 87 in 86 in September.
He's incredible.
He got on
still
the stage when he was 19 months old and has never got off.
Huh.
I always said, Mickey, when you die, they'll really appreciate you.
Well, they'll applaud him all the way
to all about. They don't, because nobody in Hollywood has lasted like you and has continued on to last like you.
But I think it's because his whole life was on stage. It's just like I talked to Tommy Toon earlier this week, and he was the same way. He said, "This is what keeps me alive."
Yeah, well, show business does keep him alive, and that's what it's all about. And I must tell you that when I saw Mickey's show when he was here in the desert, he had packed the house, and he was on key on all of his songs, did his soft shoe, did his pirouette. You know, everybody just was thrilled by it.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you
well,
use them.
He has a pacer now, but gosh, for years he was running around doing crazy things and never had. He always had a good heart. That was always good.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Now,
so if you got a good heart, you got a chance.
I got to ask you about Danny Thomas. But years and years and years ago, I interviewed Danny Thomas when he was talking about St. Jude's, which his daughter
kept on.
He was such a gentleman.
Oh, I loved his wife, too. She was terrific, Rosemary. In fact, his daughter looks just like Rosemary.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They're so similar. Rosemary had a great sense of humor. And, you know, she knew it. Both wives, like this weekend I'm going up to see Jonathan Winters. I'll be with Eileen and John. And, you know, these wives, they run the show.
Really?
They run the show.
Where are they performing?
Excuse me?
No.
Hello?
Kidding.
Hello?
Oh. It is great to know that these stars keep going like the Energizer Bunny. You know, they keep going.
That's true. You got to be pretty sharp to keep up with them.
Absolutely. Now, what about Red Skelton? There was another gentleman
Red
that
Skelton
I think
was
so polite.
Red Skelton was a child, but a funny one. He never grew up. And that was Christ more of his charm, as you know. You know, Red got into, at the end of his life, he got into a beef with CBS. He hated them. And he wouldn't let them have any of their reruns because he owns the show. And we still, in fact, now I think his wife is sending those out now and then, just so many at a time, so we see them on tape because they were awfully funny. I was on his set. I knew his first wife, Georgia. She was from Kalispell, Montana. She was a redhead. I never did meet the second with his wife, but I knew his son who died and also his other daughter. So I go back a long ways with Fred Skelton, maybe 50 years.
Well, you know, these people were something. They were one of a kind. If you could compare some of the people that you knew to the people today, who would be somebody that you'd pick out today that kind of matches some of the old stars of really being a star?
Gee, I guess the way you say how Tom Cruise merchandises himself, it's a machine, you know, that he has there. And he's a very good actor. We saw another side of him in this last couple of years. But I would say that the way he works it and how he works it keeps him up there. Well, you got to say that. You have to say that with Oprah, too. She knows how to work it. She works it every day. People have more respect for her now than they did 20 years ago.
And you know, the other thing that I find fascinating is that some of these stars, they're taking over. They merchandise themselves. They have their own production company.
They've got all that talent. It goes in all directions. Although, don't get Mickey Rooney to start adding things up unless on a racetrack.
Oh.
That's where all his money's gone.
Serious?
Having alimony for the years.
No kidding.
Yes.
Oh, that is too funny. But, you know,
when we were anywhere near 50 miles or 100 miles of an aircraft, he'd say to me, we're going to that track. Or get a plane. We'd fly over there.
But hey, as long as, you know, he was happy, that's the he made the money, might as well spend it how he wants.
He loves the horses.
That's incredible. You know, I just love to hear a lot of the old stories. If you could pick a favorite story of yours and some of the people that you work with, maybe the funniest thing that ever happened during your lifetime, there's got to be many, but can you pick one?
Gosh, there's so many. I just don't know where to start with that. I think that I had... was an amusing time being here, even in the desert, which you're calling me at now.
Uh-huh.
I was around for the whole movie of Mad, 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 Mad World, where we had a truck full of comedians.
Oh, my.
It was like locking them up and letting them out. But it was one-upmanship. Every morning, they'd show up here, and one would try to top the other. And it was really quite a show. You had Milton Berle, you had Danny Thompson, you had Jimmy Durante, you had Mickey Rooney, you had Jonathan Winters, you had Terry Thomas, you had F.O. Merman, and you know it just went on. And of course, they all had their own acts.
You know, that's my favorite movie.
And they had their own entourages, and of course, they catch each other going, who had the room for this and that? Mm-hmm. And Phil Silvers was there too. I mean, you just Ben Blue, it was really, I would say, I could come up with a lot of stories out of that fast.
Well, you know, the other thing, too,
is people getting together and doing this huge script, which was directed by Stanley Kramer, who was a major dramatic director.
Uh-huh.
And here he was with all these comedians. I knew he was out of his mind. What did he get into? Because some of those scenes, they had to have them all in. They all had to have lines because they all had to have their parts. They all couldn't. You know, they all were stars, so you can imagine what a tough time it was for him. But it was a major hit, and it was a lot of fun.
I bet they ad-libbed a lot.
It was all ad-libs.
Really?
Yeah, although you got to put those in, and you got to see, what did he say? Because you got to match all that up when you cut the movie. It was very difficult.
But
we
know,
had a huge crew. And,
that's one of my favorite movies, because I've seen it maybe 20 times, and I still
good for
find
you.
The nuances
you got a good sense of humor.
Before.
A lot of people are real old fans of that. I run into them. They figure here that I have something to do with that movie. Oh, they all want to hear everything. So it's really held up.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is timeless because you're laughing every single minute of that darn movie.
That's right. That's right.
And I think we need more laughs these days because we've got a lot more.
I look for laughs. I write laughs. I want to be around laughs. I tell you, it's the only thing that gives me sort of a kick in life, and I say, I can keep laughing all my life, I'll be a lucky guy.
You betcha. Now, what about Martin and Lewis? Now, Jerry Lewis, Dean
well,
Martin.
I was around when they were together.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Jerry was very difficult man to deal with. And, of course, I don't blame Dean one iota because I was there every week on that show. They just said, you know, he can't work anymore with Jerry. You know, he just couldn't because his ego was so huge. So unbelievable. And I don't like it, to be honest with you. I don't like it. I didn't like the way he handled everybody.
Hmm.
Although I have to say the poor man's on his way out right now. He's awful sick. I shouldn't be saying that at this time.
But
sure there's a lot
book,
of people in Hollywood feel the same way.
Even in his book, though, he was sorry for a lot of the things he did.
Was he? Yeah, well, I never wanted to read his book. I saw enough of him in Human.
Now tell me, how do people get your book?
My book? Okay.
Yes.
You can get it on Amazon.com. It's called Confessions of a Hollywood Agent. The story is in the 50s, and it's got murder, intrigue, everything that you'd want to read in a book. If you like a big book for the beach, that's it. If you like a book for an airplane ride, you have a great adventure all the way across the country.
I'll be darned. You know, it sounds like you had a fun time putting this together.
Well, you know, no book is easy. And because, you know, you've got to get it right or otherwise nobody will read it. They can usually tell the first page if this is going to be something I want to read.
You betcha.
And, you know, that's important. And we all have to become promoters of our books. It's not like, you know, nobody does any of those things before like they used to in the old days. Nowadays.
Whoops, I think we have absolutely lost Bill here. I hope that's not true, but it's the way it goes. But the name of the book, again, is Confessions of a Hollywood Agent, and it is Bill Gardner. It's William Lewis Gardner, but I think you will find it absolutely fascinating because Bill has been around a very, very long time, and it's just a kick to be able to talk to people like that. Matter of fact, I'm going to have to give a little conversation to Bill to see if maybe he will do a little something for us on the book that we have coming out with Marilyn, Joe, and me. I think you'll find it fascinating. So anyway, the way it goes is that Bill Gardner is a terrific guy, and we will have him back again because he's got stories galore. And the stars in Hollywood, well, they just grow brighter on Pop Off, and so do you. It is for your eyes only, because it's the gospel according to Mendel. Since 1979, Dr. Earl Mendel launched a campaign to keep us healthy with the Vitamin Bible. Now, since then, there has been scores of books to keep us aware, including his latest, Dr. Earl Mendel's Vitamin Bible for the 21st Century, and Dr. Earl Mendel's Natural Remedies for 150 Ailments. He just wants us to live longer and better and healthier. He is the vitamin guru of the century. Dr. Mendel, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Mary Jane, it's a pleasure to be back on the show.
Well, as always, you always have great information for us, and I want to just dive right in with one of the first things that popped into my mind when I knew you were going to be on the show. One of the major problems these days is the word diabetes. It is growing by leaps and bounds with younger and younger people. What is the reason?
Well, it's pretty simple. Obesity and overweight is the major factor here. And you're right, diabetes is out of control. They're talking about 72 million Americans either are diabetic or pre-diabetic, and it's getting worse. And you're right, it's getting younger and younger. When you are overweight or obese, your chances of contracting this so-called type 2 diabetes, you know, it used to be called adult onset, but because it's getting younger and younger, they changed it to type 2 diabetes. And it's not an easy disease to control. It's many diseases. It can lead to probably the primary cause of blindness in the United States. Has to do with congestive heart failure, kidney problems, all these kidney transplants and kidney dialysis. They're all due to diabetes.
So obesity is one. What other kinds of things do we have to be careful of?
Well, that's the number one thing. But you see, once you are a diabetic, then you have to be very careful of the processed carbohydrates and the sugar that we're eating. And the average American is now eating about 150 pounds of sugar per person per year. A lot of it is due to the soft drinks. I mean, if you take the typical 20-ounce soft drink, there's 14 to 17 teaspoons of sugar in those soft drinks, and people are drinking 40 ounces or bladder buster 64-ounce soft drinks.
So So, but you're talking about refined sugar, right?
Exactly, refined sugar. Mm-hmm. You see, or something like that is not conducive to this because you'd have to eat a lot. You know, the apple has fiber, etc. So it's not really you couldn't eat eight or ten apples.
Well, then, so we have to start with diet, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. I think diet, lack of exercise, I think the processed food situation is getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, just go into a typical grocery store, stand by the checkout, and see what people are putting through the, I call it the beeper, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
There's nothing real. And almost every one of these processed foods is loaded with sugar and processed carbohydrates.
Okay, so diabetes is one, and starting with the obesity, what about cholesterol? I mean, everybody's worried about their cholesterol.
Well, you know, here's something that you don't hear about very often, and that is excess sugar, of course, has to be stored in the body, and guess how it's stored? As fat. So, you see, it's a vicious cycle that one thing leads to another. We've got to be careful of the trans fatty acids. Foods. Finally, as of January the 1st of this year, they're now listing on labels if there is any trans fatty acids in your food.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not eat anything that says trans fatty acids. Unfortunately, a lot of the fast food restaurants are still frying their French fries in this trans fatty acid. Basically, it's a hydrogenated vegetable oil that speeds up the so-called hardening of the arteries, which is exacerbated by the cholesterol. So all these things are interrelated.
Now, is it true, I realize that there are two types of cholesterol. That's the HDL and the LDL. One's good, one's bad. You want the LDL, which is the good kind, right?
No, the other way around.
Bad kind.
LDL I call the lousy cholesterol.
The lousy cholesterol.
The HDL is the happy cholesterol. So you want to have more of the good guys, the HDL, than the bad guys. Because, of course, it's very low LDL and whatever. But basically, if the ratio, the number, the big number that they give you, you should divide that by the HDL, and the proportion should be about 3, 3.5 or so to 1. Because the HDL actually takes the cholesterol to the liver where it's broken up into bile acids and passed out of the system.
Hmm.
The bad cholesterol brings the fat to the blood vessel walls, and that's what causes the so-called hardening of the arteries, which can lead to heart disease, stroke, diabetes. We even think some types of cancer as well.
Wow. Now, what if you have both HDL and LDL high?
That's interesting. It usually doesn't happen that way. It's usually the LDL is high and the HDL is low. But there are things that you can do to overcome that. For instance, eating fish that's rich in omega-3 fatty acids. These are fish such as salmon, wild salmon, mackerel, cod, halibut, bass, tuna. They're rich in omega-3. Or if you're a vegetarian, you can eat flaxseed meal or flaxseed oil as a supplement, and that helps to basically lower not only the cholesterol but also the triglycerides too.
Okay, a couple of other things that are really aware of, and the reason I'm aware of a lot of it is the commercials that you see for all this stuff that's going to solve every problem in your life, including high blood pressure, and the big thing now that one of the high blood pressure medications is going to be off the market as far as a patent name, so we're going to go to generics. And
right.
People are going to be very confused over this.
Well, the problem is that, you see, if you're overweight, of course, your cholesterol is going to probably increase, your blood pressure is going to increase. I mean, it's so obvious that I think the major factor in our 21st century existence in America is that two-thirds of the adult population is overweight and something like 23% are obese. And even a third of the children are overweight. And how do you like this one? 40% of the dogs are overweight.
Oh, gosh. You know, you become successful in a country, and you think you're doing very well, and then all you're doing is killing yourself, you know?
Well, we definitely are destroying ourselves with our knives and forks because When you're that overweight, so many other problems occur. And it's so obvious that, you know, the more blood in the system, the more the heart has to pump, and it's a vicious cycle. So try to keep, it's so important to keep your weight at a normal amount. And that's not easy anymore because people have stopped moving. I mean, we say we go to work, but it's not physical work. It's mental work. And basically, people are sitting at a desk or in front of a computer or whatever it is, and they don't do any type of physical activity anymore.
Yeah, you've basically said, and I've heard you say this over and over again, we're the most overfed, undernourished country in the history of the world.
Well, absolutely. I mean, pathetic to think that 95% of Americans don't get enough vitamin E in their diet, 40% aren't getting enough vitamin A, and 33% aren't getting enough vitamin C. It sounds like a third world country when it comes to nutrition, because that's exactly what we are. So that's why I wrote the Vitamin Bible, and of course the new Vitamin Bible is available now. It just came out as a new revise. It's so important for people to understand that the chances of your getting all the necessary nutrients in your diet are zilch. I mean, even the government is making the producers of these processed foods add vitamins and minerals, whatever. And one of the vitamins that we should know about, especially women who are at childbearing ages, is called folic acid, folic acid or folate, because it is so lacking in the diet that they finally made them add a small amount to a lot of these processed foods. It prevents a neurotubular defect called spina bifida. But even more important, that about 50% of people who have a heart attack have a have a normal cholesterol, but all of them are lacking in folic acid. But it seems that a lack of folic acid causes an overabundance of the production of a toxic amino acid. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein, called homocysteine, and when that is produced too much in the body, in the bloodstream, it's more conducive to having heart disease.
Wow.
So you want to make sure you're taking a good, complete, multiple vitamin mineral that has all the B vitamins, including folic acid.
Hmm. Now, how many books have you written all through?
54.
54?
54 books in the last 27 years, and the Vitamin Bible is my biggest book. It has sold over 10 million copies in 32 languages around the world, and it's pretty exciting to think that the world is becoming a much smaller place, and people, unfortunately, this is kind of interesting, there are more overweight people in the world now than starving.
Mm. Again, you become affluent to a certain extent, and you think, oh, this is a good thing. And instead, we're hurting ourselves because
the affluence is not hurting us. It's just the change of our lifestyle. I mean, people don't. I tell you, what's really interesting, you know, I travel around the country a lot, and you look at the passing parade, and it's everybody's overweight. And have you ever tried to walk to a mall, one of those big malls?
Mm-hmm.
You can't get there. I mean, it's not meant for people to walk. It's strictly by automobile. So they've made a lot of the suburban areas in America, it's not conducive to walking.
Yep, I got a beef about that. How many people do you see rolling around a mall over and over and over? They'll go 15, 20 minutes looking for a parking place that's right up against the doggone door.
Exactly. Well, a lot of the malls now have valet parking, so heaven forbid, you might even have to look for a parking space.
That's crazy.
But if you want to have an interesting experience, try walking into one of those giant malls. It's not a pleasurable experience, because to get there, you got to go across a major, you know, four-lane, eight-lane type highway, and it's really, I do it all the time when I'm out of town, just for fun, just to see how difficult it is. And it really, and people will give you directions. Well, you turn this or that. I said, no, I'm walking. They look at you like you're out of your mind.
I know. Now, I know they can get all your books at the bookstore, the natural food stores, et cetera, and at the bookstores, too. But if they want to go to your website, that's drearlmindell.com, right?
Correct. Also, you can go on Amazon, AMAZON.com. I scroll to books and just type my name in, and all my books come out as well.
You are fantastic, as always. Earl, please come back again, because there are some other things I want to talk to you about, some of the newest kinds of things, like Goji.
All right, my pleasure. Be well and stay well.
Will do. You take care, too, now.
Bye-bye.
That's Dr. Earl Mendel. And again, 54 books this man has written. Isn't that absolutely incredible? And again, that's drearlmendel.com for more information. You can look and feel good on Pop-Off. It's the only way we want to make sure that you're going to have a lot of fun in life. That's what life is all about. If you can't have fun and enjoy, then it's not worth it. And I thank you so much for joining us on Pop-Off today. We'll be back with you tomorrow at high noon, you betcha, with more bright people. Don't forget, Mary Jane at popoff.com. I want to hear from you. Ideas, comments, and let me know where you're calling from, and, of course, emailing me from. It's all about you on Pop-Off. In the meantime, live simply, laugh often, love deeply. And above all else, I want you to dare to dream, because that's what it's all about.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.